And this morning we approach God's Word, and we'll pick up first in Exodus chapter 12, as you see on the screen. We'll also be in Matthew chapter 26, and we'll also be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So take a couple pens or some peep fingers or whatever you need to. You may want to mark those as we get into those. But as we look back this Sunday, and in some ways it seems like Easter was a long time away ago, but it was only a week there. Some of us, it probably seemed is still very short. But as we look back to that Easter Sunday, and we look back to the celebration of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the grave, this time we're going to take some time this morning. And we are going to be talking about worshiping through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. The ordinance established by Christ, presented to the disciples, those of the 12, that evening before his crucifixion. And today we explore the reason. We look at the reason why we, who are believers, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, why do we take part in this thing, this ordinance called the Lord's Supper? We're going to read first Exodus chapter 12. You found Exodus chapter 12. Let's rise and honor the reading of God's Word this morning. And we see that Moses would write. He says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, and speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood, and they shall put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so that you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout the generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance.'" Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, as we have come into your house, and Lord, as we have surrendered ourselves to you, Lord, may our hearts be made ready this day, and Lord, open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our souls, that we would hear your word proclaimed, that it would do what it does, and it would divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning our heart this day. That we would be willing people to surrender and to repent, that we may worship you with everything we have this morning. So God be God this day. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so you may be seated. And so we see in our passage here in Exodus chapter 12, We see Moses giving instructions to the people. Moses has received these instructions from God. And what do we see in this moment? But we see the Passover meal is instituted. It has begun. And so what's the context of all this going on? If you're a scholar of the Bible, which I know many of you are, but here's the context. Israel is in Egypt. They have been there for several centuries now. They started out, Joseph got there first. Wasn't Joseph's plan, but it was God's plan. And so Joseph came first. Joseph would rise to prominence there, and a famine would eventually come. The famine would also bring Jacob and his 11 brothers. And so we would read in Scripture, and that we would understand that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and his 12 sons would come to Egypt, and they would be about 70 in number. And now, over the centuries, they have grown into a great and mighty nation. If we were to read the first parts of Exodus, we would be reminded that those who knew of Joseph have long since passed. And the works of Joseph in Egypt have long since been forgotten. And the people of Israel, great in number, now find themselves oppressed by the Egyptians. They cry out to God, and God is faithful, and He hears their cry. And God will redeem Israel. Redemption is coming. And what do we see, and how does that come forth? But it comes through a man at that point living on the backside of nowhere named Moses. Some ways minding his own business, and then God called him. We see the whole burning bush, and we see the call, and Moses, of course, telling God, "You have got the wrong person." But yet we see Moses answers the call. We see that God is with them, and Moses comes and he begins to speak with Pharaoh, and we want to think that he's going to say and what needs to be said, and immediately Pharaoh's going to release the people of Israel, but that's not what took place. And so we begin to go through a series of plagues. There's 10 total, and at this point 9 have taken place. Israel, they are still needing to be redeemed from the land of Egypt. Pharaoh, still hard-hearted to let them go. And then this plague is begun. But before that, what will become known as the Passover is now instituted. And as we read in the text, that there was days leading up to that, there was a time period they were to go, they were to select their lambs, and they were to be without blemish. They were to be perfect in that sense. They were to hold the lambs for a certain number of period of days, and then at twilight, getting toward that evening time, they would slaughter those lambs. And there's a whole meal that is therefore prepared around that, but most importantly, on this night, where the Passover will first time ever be taken, those individuals take the blood of that lamb, and they would dip a hyssop branch in it, and they would paint on the doorpost and the crossbar the blood. Why? Because God would send the death angel that night, and where the blood was seen, death would pass over that house to those where the blood did not cover. We go to this night, and it would become Passover. We read in the text it would become yearly that they would celebrate this. But on this particular night, as they approach that one night, we see the Passover instituted. A couple things we see about that. There is an immediate aspect of that. All those who were the firstborn of Israel, whose house was covered by the blood, spared from death because of the blood of the Lamb. There's an immediate aspect. But there's also a long-term aspect. And what else do we see as we read in the text? That this would to be a memorial of remembrance. And so Jews and Israelites, as they would leave that land when they would be freed and they would go out, and they were in essence to never return to Egypt, but every year they would come to this day, the first of their month in their calendar, and on this particular day they would celebrate this one meal. And all that is said, and it was to be a remembrance of what? What God did for them. It's always focused back on what God did for them to bring them to salvation. What do we see? God Himself instituted it to remind them that God Himself gave grace and mercy and spared Israel with the blood of the Lamb. It was His mercy and grace that they are saved from death, that they are redeemed. And the centuries would go by, and this would become normal. Becomes part of the festivals. This is a meal, and then it will kick off another series of festivals that would take place. And so the yearly come, and they would do it, and they would go, and it would happen over and over and over and over again. It was part of their normal aspect. And if you were to continue to read the text, we see things that are great in it, because it talks about that as parents, as it was passed down from generation to generation. How was it that you would get the youngest of the household when they were able, and they would say this question: why is this night more special than any other nights? Would that lead them to, here's what God did on this night? Or was it point them to, God is still God, and God is still able to carry us through. Centuries this takes place. And then we come to see, and so what do we see? Salvation came. How? God showed His judgment on that of the Egyptians, the blood that covered, and the death angel passed over. Years and years go by. Come to the time of the Gospels. And so we look to Matthew, and we come to Matthew chapter 26. And we read here in Matthew 26, picking up in verse 26, Matthew writes for us, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and He blessed, and He broke it, and He gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body.' Then He took the cup, and He gave thanks, and He gave it to them, and He's saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom.'" It's the context of this moment. They are doing what is natural to them. They are doing what is natural to them. They are celebrating the Passover. Jesus Christ celebrating it with the disciples. Every one of them has done that all their life. But this night is different. The context of the moment: Christ has come. The Messiah has come. God dwells among men. Why? That salvation may be attained through once again the sacrifice of the Lamb, the blood. What do we see? The Lord's Supper instituted by Christ once again the evening before. The evening before. This by far is the greater of the two. And so he institutes this new ordinance, and what do we see? There are immediate results that take place that still look down for us. What is the immediate results? Sinners, debt, once and for all, paid. The debt of sin, paid. It's the immediate result. What's the long term? The memorial. Why? Because Christ declare that this will is to carry on. Why? That us remember what Christ did on that cross. He brought salvation through his work on the cross. And how did salvation come? It came through the judgment of sin by God. Christ, as we read in the Gospels, he would take the cup of wrath that is being poured out by God, and he will do it. He becomes our substitute. He stands in our place to take the wrath of God and to therefore pay the judgment of God, that God's wrath may be satisfied. And in also that work, those of us who have come to faith in Christ have our sins cleansed. See, links back to the Passover, when on that night the angel passed over the houses with the blood. All of those found under the blood of Christ now find ourselves redeemed by God. See, the blood covers it all. Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. The perfect Lamb of God. John, in his early chapter, actually chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 29, Christ is coming. He's coming to actually be baptized. And we read here, John would proclaim, "Behold." And he is pointing out Christ. He says this, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This night in Matthew that records, this night before, much is still yet to take place. But on this night, he institutes this ordinance we call the Lord's Supper. Why? Because it's going to point toward the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, once and for all, taking the punishment of sin, covering the debt of sinners who will repent and be redeemed. And we will find ourselves justified in Christ. How? Because we have felt the conviction of our heart that says, that reminds us and tells us and informs us that I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I am not righteous. I am not holy. I am a sinner who stands before a holy and righteous God with no merit on my own. But God, who is rich in mercy, who looked down from time and that sent Christ that he may die and be sacrificed while I was still a sinner, that my debt may be paid, that I would therefore be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the blood spilt once and for all. And so on that night, we would really see the last of the Passover lambs from that of Exodus. Their work is now done. Because the true Lamb has now come, and we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Dean and Sarah says, as the Passover meal served as a foundational meal of the Old Covenant, taking place on the brink of the foundational saving act of the covenant, so the Lord's Supper was the foundational meal of the new covenant, taking place on the brink of the saving work that Jesus would achieve on the cross. We turn to 1 Corinthians, and Paul would write to the Corinthian church. And just prior, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, to verses just prior to that, Paul discloses, he says this, picking up in verse 23, he says, I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In that same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But see, there were other words that Paul needed to write to the Corinthian church that also speak to us as we come into this holy time and of worship through the Lord's Supper. And Paul would write that there is a manner by which we are to properly take the Lord's Supper. So we pick up in verse 27 and we begin to read. And Paul writes, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we will judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. What do we see Paul talking about here is merely this, is there was an unhealthy, a sinful aspect, a sinful celebration that was taking place in the church in Corinth, where those that have would oftentimes come with a real feast. And they would only serve it with those who they wanted to serve it. And those are lesser individuals who did not have as much, they would not allow them to partake. And hence, Paul is telling them, he says, you don't come for feasting on this day and the amount of food. We come, what? To worship and to remember what Christ has done. We take that word, and as he talks about, there's a manner worthy by which we take it. And so we come this day. We come this day to continue that focus, to understand that our hope is found in Jesus Christ, the work on the cross and what that means, and the manner in which we are to rightly participate in the Lord's Supper. And it begins with each one of us looking at ourselves. Paul uses the word that we may examine our hearts. Man, why? Because it's out of the heart that we act. It's out of the heart that we do things. It's out of the heart where sin first begins. And the mind, and we think about it, and then the heart desires it. And then when it has grown full-blown, we have sinned. So there's a manner by which we approach the Lord's Supper, and it comes back to this verse that we examine us. We examine ourselves as individuals. And it's a time between you and God. And how does it normally begin? We begin with that of prayer. Man, what is it We confess the sins that we know of. And man, we even oftentimes look and do what? Lord, show me. Lord, show me where I have failed you, that I may approach this time with a pureness of heart that we can attain here with the Holy Spirit working in us, that we will truly worship Christ in the giving of the bread, in the giving of the cup. So what do I call for you, us, this day? Examine your hearts. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. We'll have a song of invitation, a good time to get right with God. Man, upon the ending of that, we're going to transition right into the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we worship that. Also a great day that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, salvation is available this day. He shed his blood on the cross so that your sin debt could be paid once and for all. He redeemed you because he loved you, and he has great plans for your life. Plans that are for the glory of God. So we remember those who in salvation, but Lord, may we also prepare our hearts to worship through the giving and the taking of the bread and the wine, that God would once again be remembered for the work that he has done. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, we have come into your house. We have worshiped in your name, and we have done those aspects that we approach and we sing and we pray. And Lord, we come to this time now that you would just begin to work in our hearts, minds, and our souls and show us those things that we need to commit to you this day. That you and you alone will be lifted up in praise. And Lord, that we will be able to approach the worship of the table with pure hearts, laying our sins before you. Lord, we pray for those that need to come to faith and salvation. And Lord, we pray that you and you alone would move mightily in their day. Lord, move in their hearts that they would understand sin. And Lord, may they understand redemption through the blood of Christ. Lord, move in our day and age that you and you alone shall be glorified and honored. And Lord, we give you praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.